This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Joining us this morning, Captain Ben Moskowitz of the Honolulu Police Department's Traffic Division, John Noguchi is the Deputy Director of the City's Department of Transportation Services, and Lance Ray is behind the state's Walkwise campaign. Welcome to you all.
Good morning. Aloha. Good
morning. Morning.
Now, today we're talking about the horrible spike in pedestrian deaths that we saw last year. We do not want to repeat for 2019. So, Captain Moskowitz, can you start us off with these sobering numbers?
Yeah, absolutely. In the city and county of Honolulu, we had 28 brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, neighbors of all of us that were killed as pedestrians on the roadway just on the island of Oahu. And, you know, some of those honestly were not what you would classically think of as pedestrians, right? Not necessarily people in a crosswalk at an intersection. And that is very important that we address that particular portion of the number. But, the numbers are kind of all over the place. We had three people who were killed as pedestrians on freeways, which is, you might not classically think of those folks as pedestrians. We had two young men, President's Day weekend last year, killed while changing a tire in a grassy shoulder of Farrington Highway. They were hit and killed by a drunk driver who fled the scene. You might not think of those folks as pedestrians, but that's the category that they fall in the stat sheet. And we had two folks within 2 weeks of each other, in fact, a few months ago, laying down in the roadway on the sidewalk, just inside maybe what you would consider like the private property line of areas on the public sidewalk, were killed by drivers crossing the sidewalk, entering or leaving parking garages. And we had two people killed, again, just really bizarre circumstances, but we had two folks who were killed laying down in the middle of the roadway in the middle of the night, just struck by passing cars in really dark areas. 28 is a really big number, and that's just the Oahu number. If you zoom out to the entire state, it's more like 44 people were killed, hit and killed, as pedestrians on the roadways in the state. So it's really just a sobering number when you compare this past year to previous years.
And what was it the previous year?
So the year before on Oahu, we had 13. So we went from 13 to 28, which is more than double. Now, 13, in all honesty, was a very low number. And we do see these numbers go up slightly and go down slightly, and they kind of average out over time. But every single one of those numbers, and I don't want this point to get lost, is a person, right? It's a person who you may not know, but they have families and they have children and parents and neighbors and friends. And to each one of those groups of people, each of these numbers is a terrific, a horrible human tragedy that can be avoided.
Right, and that was 44 last year statewide, and for 2017 it was 15.
15, yeah, 12, right. 13 on Oahu and 15 statewide.
And we did just have an incident where a mother and a daughter were in a crosswalk. John, I think you said it was in Pearl City area?
That's correct.
This first week of January.
Yeah, not quite the way we wanted to start off the new year. We did have I believe it was a mother and child in crossing at a four-way stop intersection in Pearl City, which then pretty much leads you to the conclusion that, they were in, we know that they were in the crosswalk, and a car struck them while they were in the crosswalk. So that basically lends to inattention or rushing. There's just, that accident was completely preventable. There was not much that happened there that, the outcome was just, it didn't need to happen that way.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And I think maybe they're recovering, but still, it's sobering when you think first week of the new year.
Yeah, but historically, we normally see pedestrian crashes usually during the first part of the year. During the middle part of the year, July and August, there seems to be a spike. And then you see it again usually in November and December. There's no rhyme or reason for it. But we generally see the spikes during those time periods if you look through the records for the past 10, 12 years.
Well, Lance, tell us about this program and the fact that we've been tracking this for some years.
Yeah, well, the Walkwise Hawaii program is sponsored by the Department of Transportation here in Hawaii with funding from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Walkwise Hawaii is an education program. So it's not about infrastructure, it's not about enforcement, it's about educating the way people walk. And it began about 15, 16 years ago as Walkwise Kupuna. And the focus was really on senior citizens because at that time, seniors were representing 60-70% of the pedestrian crashes and fatalities in the state of Hawaii. That has changed now. We're very lucky. We don't want to say lucky. Lucky would be at zero. But now we see that seniors represent about about 33 1/3% of the fatalities every year. Last year, I think the number would be that it would represent about 37% of the pedestrian fatalities last year. So even though the numbers are going up, we're seeing everything sort of proportionately going up evenly. You know, even across the islands, we're seeing everything about the same.
Okay. Well, we do have several calls on the line already this morning. Rebecca from Honolulu, what's on your mind?
Hi. I wanted to say that I'm out driving quite a bit. I drive for Uber and Lyft, and I witness every single day, every day, at least one person violating a crosswalk or an intersection, running a light when it's about to turn red. I mean, I personally see this. And I think that if we could just turn those cameras back on, the ones that are on top of the intersections, and people got a ticket in the mail, then they would be less likely to just blow through the crosswalk.
Okay, good point. Captain, I don't know, you want to talk about the cameras?
Yeah, a couple of things to unpackage, and those are excellent, excellent ideas. There are some hurdles with implementing that suggestion. The first thing is the cameras that are on those intersections are not recorded. I don't know if people know that. They're monitored. They can be monitored remotely. They can be monitored. You can go to goakamai.org and actually see the traffic online and check out what it looks like. But there's no recording capabilities with any of those cameras. So that would be a challenge. I really like the caller's idea, and they're kind of refreshing out-of-the-box thinking. Just kind of thinking again as we're talking to issue citations by mail to pedestrians might be difficult. If we're talking about maybe red light cameras or speed cameras where we have a license plate and we know a registered owner because we know a car and we can track it down that way, for us, that would be a little bit easier. Whereas finding a pedestrian just from a photo might be difficult, or from a video would be difficult as well.
Okay. We do have another call, Brandon from Kaimuki. You have a question or a point to share?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to mention, I live in Kaimuki, right near Sierra Drive, and one of the common things I see is that the mid-block crosswalk, they allow street parking really close to where the crosswalks are, so as you're coming down the hill, it's very hard to see if someone is in the crosswalk already or if they're even, started crossing, and it's a pretty hazardous situation that seems like it could be solved relatively easily by just eliminating, two parking stalls, so you can just see when someone has actually entered the crosswalk.
Okay, good point. John, you want to take that?
Yeah, situationally, I think we can look at every at the mid-block crosswalks and places like that, but there are laws in place that do prohibit parking right up against the crosswalk so as to increase the visibility. As we look at mid-block crosswalks, unsignalized mid-block crosswalks, our traffic engineers do have to take a look at whether, according to the latest federal standards that guide our implementation of things, whether these crosswalks can continue to exist. New standards have also made it more prohibitive for us to have a lot of unsignalized mid-block crosswalks.
I know on King Street, I recall seeing some of the crosswalks kind of blacked out. And, for whatever reason, I think there are two on that on King Street by Ward Avenue. And it's caused some problems because people are used to crossing over to get to the bus stop or, that would be a natural corner.
That's correct. At that particular location, though, at the intersection of King and Cook and Kealamaka'i Street, that one was removed in advance of a signal project that's actually going in there. So we do have a traffic signals project that will signalize that crossing in the very near future. So that had to come out before the construction could commence.
Okay, and we have another call coming in from Maui. Martin, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for calling my call. Yeah, there's a busy street that's called South Kihei Road. Who is familiar with it? And it has a part is local, where local people live, and the other part is more like tourist kind of condominiums. And all the crosswalk at the tourist side have push button that you push, and the yellow starts to blink, and actually it gets your attention if you're driving, especially when it's kind of darkish. And the stop what I'm talking about is Cross Street is Ohukai, and there's two bus stops on each, I mean, one bus stop off each side. And if you're crossing, if you go from the bus, the opposite of the traffic just don't pay attention, and they don't see you because you're behind the bus and how it's designed. So the driver doesn't see you, and there's the beach, so people looking the beach, especially the tourists, you know, even locals, you know, like, how is the wave, you know? So they don't pay too much attention. So if there would be flashing light, I mean, how much does it cost, and how much is human life worth to put flashing light? And it's a major bus stop because it goes all the way, Okai goes all the way across Pilani Highway. So a lot of kids go there, a lot of workers, they work in the hotels goes there. Second thing is also, I just visited a little tiny country, and they have street light that the green start to flash before change to orange and red, and it's all synchronized. So if you go speed limits 45 miles, you get the green wave through the whole country or city. Let's say city. Let's start with city. And you can see, oh, okay, I'm getting red light, so I get from the gas. I don't need to brake, you know. Oh, I can maybe beat it. You know, let's, you know, start and let's go orange, you know. And the other people already have a green, you know. So it's really simple thing. The green start to flash three times, and then you see, okay, I'm getting, and it's all synchronized.
I'm curious, what country was this?
This is Austria.
Austria. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
really, I mean, I felt so relaxed to drive through. And also with the bicyclist here, it's supposed to have a 3 feet from your bicycle. But sometimes I feel, especially the big trucks, it goes like inches by my elbow or
yes.
by my head
yes.
because they're so high. You know,
I can relate to that, yes.
It's a law from last year. You're supposed to let it 3 feet away, but it's a windy, you know, and you try to, you don't go straight line on a bicycle, and you kind of,
yeah, well,
not like,
well,
like
we see your point.
Because you get a wind gust, you know, and people, I can feel like just the wind rushing through by my ear because of the,
yeah, they're too close. They're too close to you. Thank you, Martin. Wow. John, do you want to take some of these issues that he's brought up? He's you know, put a number of things out on the table there.
Sure. You know, like I said earlier, our traffic engineers have a bunch of different tools in their toolkit. Some of them, a lot of these solutions we have deployed around the city and county of Honolulu here. In terms of the flashing lights, those are called, rapid RRFBs. Flashing beacons, but those can be deployed if the situation is appropriate for it. We did have some success with one that is on King Street, but you know, we did find that the amount of light that it gave off in the daytime wasn't as effective as we had hoped. Those implementations are relatively expensive to do. A lot of times they require a lot of trenching for electricity, and to actually hang a mast arm over a large multi-lane road is pretty cost prohibitive at times. But where it is appropriate, we can look at these flashing lights to help signal pedestrian crossings.
And if I can speak from the education point, you know, we want to stress always that even though there's infrastructure there, you know, there's no invisible force beam that's going to stop that car just because there's lights blinking. You know, it doesn't mean that car is going to stop if they're not paying attention. So we always try to educate the public that even though the city and county puts in infrastructure, you still have to be a very good pedestrian and pay attention while crossing the street. You know?
Right. I've heard the term situational awareness.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when we look at it, when you are in the roadway, whether you're a pedestrian, a bicyclist, a car, or you're more driving a larger commercial vehicle, whenever you're in that roadway, it's everyone's responsibility to maintain awareness at all times, you know. So you can't ever check out. Driving, you have to have a license to drive. It's a privilege, yes, but it is also a huge responsibility to stay checked in mentally and to never let your attention lapse, because it is in that lapsing that's when accidents happen.
Yet as pedestrians, though, we don't have a license to be a pedestrian, and there's no rules of the walk. you know, to be good pedestrians. So we're out there all the time to kind of reteach people how to be good pedestrians. You
know? There are some rules, right? Yeah. If the white walk sign is illuminated or the white walking person sign is illuminated, then you can cross the street at a signalized intersection. If the hand is red or the don't walk is up, or even if that walking person is flashing, right, red or flashing don't walk, it's not okay to enter the streets. But back to John's point, and I think to what Martin was alluding to, the cost of human life is enormous, right? And so, yes, you could legally maybe be in the right, right? You crossing the street at an appropriate time, or you could legally be correct going through an intersection at an appropriate time, but you could also be dead. So you could be right and dead at the same time, and you don't want to be dead right, to coin the phrase.
Very okay. Well said.
Yeah, that's going to stick in my brain. and Martin, you know, maybe it's worth a call to the Maui County Transportation Services and just kind of share your thoughts with them. If you were just joining the conversation, we're talking about how we can reduce the number of pedestrian fatalities across the state. We'd like to know what you think. You can join the discussion by calling 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689 from the neighbor islands. This is a popular topic. We've gotten a number of people contacting our talkback line. We have one from Wendy, who says, in the last year, I've just noticed an increase in cars entering the crosswalk as I was crossing, not just as I was on the edge of the street, but even standing very visible halfway across. It's long overdue for the police department to do a major PR effort like click it or ticket. Captain?
Yeah, I mean, we're open to anything at this point. I'm not sure if you're following. In October, we had a police officer dress up as the Grim Reaper, right? And we run around to schools, and we stood at street corners and passed out candy to people who – Smarties if you cross the street safely, and dum-dums if you didn't. I mean, slight irony there that I had to sneak by the higher-ups. But, I mean, there's a message there, right? I mean, we're willing to think outside the box and do whatever it takes, whether it be talking to kids or talking to drivers or pulling people over and giving warnings. I mean, we could pull over everyone and give everyone tickets. That's one aspect. But in the areas where we've done that, we're not always successful, right? I mean, and again, I hate for this to turn into like a demographics or a specific geographical problem, but if you look at the Chinatown area, right, so where we've historically done a lot of pedestrian enforcement. For us, we want bang for the buck, right? We're police officers, we're out working for the taxpayers. We want to get the most enforcement effort out of the amount of time that we have. And so we send the officers to downtown maybe and in Chinatown, and they cite people who are crossing the street illegally, or they pull people over and stop motorists who are not driving or not crossing the street through the intersections safely. They're disregarding the pedestrians right away. So we can get a lot of numbers in a very short amount of time. But then you look at where the pedestrian fatalities occur, where the pedestrian collisions occur, and it's not necessarily in those particular areas. So if we then shift our efforts out of those highly populated areas, our statistics numbers go way down because there are far fewer pedestrians crossing Farrington Highway, and there are far fewer cars, you know, in Mokulea, Army Beach, where we had two pedestrians killed, right, in the last 6 months. So it's really a matter of us trying to focus our enforcement in areas we can get some return, but at the same time, enforcement is not the only part of to steal John's term, the only tool in our toolbox, right? We have to make sure we keep up this kind of public outreach and just outside the box thinking of how to prevent them before they happen.
Right. In full disclosure, I know right out here on Kaheka Street outside of our studios, there have been police that have warned people or actually ticketed people because we have a lot of folks yes. running across the street to the old Holiday Mart, the, you know, Don Quixote store, a lot of elderly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to walk all the way to the corner, and so they try and cross. And then we have lots of the cab folks, drivers, taxi drivers, in and out of our driveway. Yeah. So it's and then there's a church next door, so it's a busy area.
It's hard to change the way people walk. You know, that's our goal here. Most people want to do the most convenient route and not necessarily the safest route. Yeah, and that's the biggest thing we're trying to do at WalkWise, kind of change the way we walk. Because, Catherine, if I ask you, what's the first thing that you do when you cross the street?
Look to the left, look to the right.
Oh, that's good. Right? Most people usually say look both ways, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why WalkWise, why we're trying to make people to say look left, look right, look left again, and continue looking. The tendency is like, oh, I just look this way and that way, and I'm safe. But the reality is you need to keep looking the entire way across the street.
Right. You want to arrive alive.
You want to arrive alive.
And that's yeah. what we wanted to also say, you know, that, again, once you're in the roadway, your responsibility is to keep looking. I mean, whether you're a ped bike or vehicle. And, you know, to go back to what you're saying about this street right out here on Kaheka Street, I was a little bit unnerved this on my arrival here.
Oh.
There was a line of cars, you know, trying to turn into the very busy Don Quixote parking lot. There was an elderly Kupuna lady trying to cross, you know, the parking lot entrance. And so the car waited for her to cross. She was on her with her little walker. Someone two cars behind laid on their horn. And I think those kinds of actions, I feel like sometimes I hate to watch our aloha erode and slip away like that. But again, it comes down to, are we in that much of a rush that we have so little regard for the things that are going on outside of the protection of our automobiles sometimes? You know, and that really disturbed me to see that right before I came to talk about pedestrian safety.
Well, it's funny, too, because the one caller talked about Austria, and I know traveling this summer I went to New York and then in Europe, and it was just like, yikes, it's so different. Everybody uses the horn, and it is jarring because we don't hear that too often here.
Well, I'd like to say that we don't hear that too often, but in my head, I started thinking to myself, I think people are using their horns
more
out of impatience now rather than like aloha, shaka, hey, I see you, or hey, you're coming into my lane. I think people are using it to express their impatience, and that is a slippery slope, I think, for Honolulu.
And the reality is, drivers, we just need to slow down, follow the speed limit, and take our time. You know, if we did that, our roadways would be so much safer.
Well, I have one more element to add to that.
Yeah.
Put your phone down. I mean, you can sit in. I live in Waianae. I work in town. I sit in hours of traffic every day. Look to your left and your right on the freeway, and one out of three people is on their phone. They have their hand on their device or reading their email. And again, freeway does not necessarily translate to pedestrian safety, hopefully. But those same drivers who are emboldened to be on their phone on the freeway aren't going to stop text messaging when they hit surface streets where there are pedestrians as well.
Okay, yeah. We have someone with a follow-up question. Fred from Pearl City, you have a question for Captain Moskowitz?
Yeah, well, everything was presented very well, but I think if we can make the pedestrian's responsibility when entering the roadway, that will be the best thing can happen. You eliminate 99% of the pedestrian accidents. We were educated way back when in school. Police officer came by, look both ways, look behind you, look forward, look up, look side again, look to the right. He came out, he explained, when you're crossing the roadway, you must be careful. You must. The seniors don't understand that. They're the ones that's supposed to be educating everybody. But it looks like they're the ones that are walking out. Chinatown, you have the bulb out. No on-street parking. They make it so that you can see the crosswalk way ahead of time. So you know if somebody's entering the roadway, that's fine. So those bulb out work. On-street parking, if eliminated, you eliminate 99% of the pedestrian accidents. So given the fact that people riding their bike, like the gentleman said, where they're riding the sidewalk and all of a sudden make a 90-degree right into the crosswalk, there's no way a car can stop. Pedestrians can stop on a dime. They can turn on a dime. So, again, given the fact that pedestrians should be the ones responsible for anything that happens on the roadway. Sidewalk, they have the right-of-way, no problem. Roadway, come on, give the cars the right-of-way. Then you cross.
Okay, thank you for that. We also have Sue calling in from Hilo. What's your point?
Yes. I see very, very many people either hitchhiking here on the Big Island, walking around at night in all dark clothes.
Oh,
pedestrians
yes.
do need to bear some responsibility for what they choose to wear, and I wonder if some sort of police department dispensed reflective over the shoulder, I don't know what, band or sash or something, it would be a possibility. It's like the yellow vest people in France. I believe they require drivers to have that in case they have to change a tire or a stop, if I understand the news right. Maybe there needs to be some way to provide habitual pedestrians with something like that.
Very good point.
Well, Sue, this is Lance from Walkwise Hawaii, and I can answer that for you. We're on all the neighbor islands, and we do pass out safety lights that we clip on and also reflective bands that we pass out at community events throughout the state. We're in the which side of the Big Island are you?
Hilo. He's calling in from Hilo.
So at Hilo, we're always at Prince Cujillo Plaza over there all the time. If you want to follow us on Facebook at Walkwise Hawaii on Facebook, you'll get a listing of all of our public events that they're there. And all you have to do is come on down, take the Walkwise Hawaii pledge, learn our 7 steps to safety, and we will give you some reflective items to wear and pass out to your community groups. If you have a walking group or if you have a school group, we'd be more than happy to pass out enough so everybody has something reflective to wear when they're walking at night.
Thank you for that, Sue, because not only did Lance bring a number of those strips and those lights, but he's also wearing a bright vest, which you don't see, but very good point. Thanks so much for calling. We also have another call from Maui. John, you have a question?
Hi, aloha, guys. Thank you very much for taking my call, and great discussion and great conversation. There's great ideas going both sides, and I think it's great area you guys are doing. I just want to share a couple of things real quick. In my small communities of Ha'iku on the north shore of Maui and also a country area in Makawao, there's very popular crossings for children after school near the community center of Ha'iku and Ha'iku School. After school, the bus drops off there. And even at night, there's a lot of people that commute to the community center to take the Maui bus to get to work in town and then back. So anyway, they put in the lights that the earlier caller mentioned, has those reflectors, and I've noticed a huge difference in Makawao and in Ha'iku. So I just want to say, you know, if that's working, you know, no need to reinvent the wheel. Maybe we just, you know, put more of those in those high, I guess, dense populated areas or like where you guys are having problems. And also there's great ideas going around. And if we, like how we're doing right now in this conversation, if we all just share ideas with everybody and we take a little piece of everything, that might work in this town, that might work in this city, because Chinatown might work in one way, but it might not work in Ha'iku. So you're going to have differences of opinions and ideas. But I do think the solution is, like what you guys are doing right here, is just sharing the ideas and sharing the conversation, keep the conversation going. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. John, I know that you've got some flashing light system that's in place on King Street, and I'm not really sure how that works, if it's been doing the trick or...
Well, you know, I think that was one of our first installations of that technology, and I think now we can look at what worked and what didn't. I think more to the point, though, we do have to make sure that in our urban setting, we have to check that the roadway and the volumes that are accommodated by the both the amount of cars and the amount of pedestrians that we encounter at intersections are accounted for in determining what is the most appropriate treatment. Sometimes it's going to lean more towards we just need to have a standard signal if we have enough people crossing and a significant volume or speed on the roadway. So we do use all of those inputs to determine by federal standard, which we need to be in compliance with, what is the most appropriate solution for a very specific intersection.
I know when I come down, I think, what is it, the Like Like, and you've got those flashing lights down at the bottom, you know, just to let people know you better reduce your speed because the light's going to turn. That, to me, is very helpful as a driver. Yeah. If you're just joining us in the studio, this is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. We're talking about saving lives on our roads and sidewalks. You can join the discussion by calling 1-877-941-3689. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a break.
Discord and Rye is a rowdy roots rock band dedicated to exploring the history and future of original American music. They'll be bringing their honest, feel-good music to HPR's Atherton Studio on January 19th. They sold out the last time they played the Atherton, so get your tickets today to Discord and Rye at hprtickets.org. Sponsored by Bonnie Rice and the Rice Partnership Wealth Management.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Bishop Museum, presenting Rapa Nui, The Untold Stories of Easter Island, a new exhibition that draws from recent studies conducted by Bishop Museum researchers and collaborators, now through May 5th.
We have another call on the line. Jim from Honolulu, you want to talk about law enforcement. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hi, good morning. Thank you for this program. I'm 71 years old, getting older. I don't enjoy driving. I've got a Prius, and I do drive because I have to, but it's certainly not a recreational event for me. I live in Honolulu. And just a couple of things. One is I totally support cameras that can monitor our intersections. I think it's crazy that we aren't adopting technology more quickly than we are. A number of our crosswalks in Honolulu need to be repainted. I won't name them right now, but I think any of you who drive know that we do not stay on top of fading paint. I think crosswalks should just be as marked as they can be. I'm a strong believer in community policing. I think we need to have police or monitors, if you will, outside of their police cars. They need to be on our streets. You can stand at any busy intersection in Honolulu and watch pedestrians texting in the crosswalks, which is against the law, by the way. Bike helmets. We are now renting bicycles all over our city. As you know, there are no helmets. I live in Victoria half the year and here in Honolulu the other half. You could not possibly rent a bicycle in Victoria without a helmet. Skateboarders, we are not enforcing our laws as far as skateboarders on the streets. I live on Nu'uanu, which is a very busy street, as you know. And on any given day, you can watch skateboarders roaring down Nu'uanu at high speeds, and you can see bicyclists sometimes in the wrong lane, coming against the traffic. Do I have anything else I just wanted to say? Quick one is this. I grew up in Oklahoma City a long time ago, and do you know that in those days you had to have a license for your bicycle, and you had to go to the fire department and take a little written test on bicycling rules? What in the world has happened in this society that we're allowing these vehicles on the street with no supervision?
Thank you, Jim. Lots of really good points. And I hear you on the helmet law. I only have one head. So yeah. It's just my personal choice to wear a helmet at all times. But, John, maybe you can address some of these issues that he's brought up. One about the faded crosswalks, because we do hear that and see that everywhere.
So anytime there's a faded crosswalk, please do contact us. And more specifically, you can call the city's customer service department, and they will route it to the proper department, which is the Department of Facility Maintenance, unless it will be part of a newly completely reconstructed roadway, in which case it would be Department of Design and Construction takes care of the many miles of repaving that we've done in the city.
Okay. And then, Captain Moskowitz, maybe you can address some of the issues about enforcement. Why can't we have officers outside of their car standing at those intersections?
Yeah. So to finish up on John's point, just remember that a crosswalk, by definition, if you look it up in the revised ordinance of Honolulu or Hawaii revised statutes, the laws that actually govern crossing the streets where you can do it legally and you cannot do it, a crosswalk is not necessarily referring to painted roadways. So a crosswalk is an area at an intersection where one sidewalk connects to the other sidewalk. So if there's no paint on the ground, that's still a crosswalk by definition if it's at an intersection. So there are intersection crosswalks, which could be painted or could be not painted. And then there are mid-block crosswalks. So by definition, a mid-block crosswalk has to be painted, like across King Street where we're talking about by King and Cook in that area. So that would be that's actually an intersection crosswalk because Cook Street connects with King Street at that intersection. And so whether there's paint on the ground there or not, by definition, that is a crosswalk. So I think that's kind of an important point. And yes, it is a great idea to make sure that all of our marked crosswalks are painted very brightly, and that increases visibility. But that goes back to the same point that Lance was making, right? You can have a fluorescent glow-in-the-dark vest on, and you could have a brightly painted sidewalk marked crosswalk, and you could have flashing yellow lights, and you could have those stanchions in the middle of the road. But at the end of the day, you got to make sure you're looking before you cross the street. So it's really more of, I think, of a shared responsibility. But yeah, absolutely. If there's a crosswalk that needs to be repainted, every little angle is going to help.
We've seen in communities that get more involved. You know, remember on the Waianae Coast, for instance, Fairlane Highway a couple years ago, there was a fatality every 2 weeks, something happening, right? Then the community came out, you know, and they did those flags, you know, and the community came out there. They were paying more attention. There was more attention to driving slower up there. And then the fatalities went down. you know, because the community was involved. And I think that's really one of the important things. There's enforcement, education, there's engineering, but the community needs to be involved to make their neighborhood safer.
Yes.
You know?
On my way home, I know we had a car take out a sign, basically didn't make the curve. And shortly after, someone put up a sign saying, drive like your children live here. You know, kind of a reminder.
Not everyone is a driver, right? But everyone is a pedestrian. Whether you are typically a pedestrian or a habitual pedestrian, somebody referred to a little while ago, everyone is a pedestrian. When you get out of your car to go across the street, you're a pedestrian. So, yeah, it's just totally a community mindset that has to be reformed. We got to realize that we're all in it together. And, yeah, these are people. Like you said, drive like you pretend, you know, that your kids live here. I like that.
And then the caller had mentioned the issue of having police officers outside their car at intersections. Can you address that?
Yeah. So we have a group of officers, our fourth watch. So when officers finish their initial training and before they go out to their first assignment in patrol or narcotics or wherever, we do have a group of officers who basically that's their job. Sometimes we pull them away to go focus on other high crime areas or certain special projects or things that are going on. But especially in downtown in Waikiki, we have this group called Fourth Watch. And the Fourth Watch officers, that's their job, is to walk around on foot and address those things. So that's something I'll definitely go back and talk to our patrol districts about to make sure that they realize that it's an important concern from the community.
We did also have someone write into our talkback line, and they did raise a question about let me just read it. I understand that most accidents involving cars and pedestrians occurs when the vehicle turns left, with walkers and cars both having the green light. Why not make all intersections work like the one in Waikiki at the Royal Hawaiian that has three phases? John, can you talk about that? Why can't we have more of those?
Sure. That's known as a Barnes crossing or a Barnes dance, where all the traffic phases are stopped and pedestrians can proceed at, you know, towards any other side of the intersection. We like to implement those in areas of high pedestrian crossings. We have a bunch of them in Waikiki. We have one in Chinatown at the intersection of King and Kekaulike Street. And interestingly enough, we look at other places that could be beneficiaries of that kind of treatment. One of them that we often get is the intersection of King and Bishop, right downtown in our financial central business district. When we looked at it, though, we did discover that because of the nature of how many different phases the traffic light has to go through there, it has to allow people from King to get through, it allows people from Bishop to get through, and then there's an additional left turn phase. We did find in that particular case that a Barnes crossing would actually cause more delay to the pedestrians because they could cross one leg, then the next consecutive leg, rather than waiting for all three phases of the light to complete and then having their own phase. So, again, we like to do those where it's appropriate.
And I don't know, Lance, are you aware of any of these on the neighbor islands?
You know, I don't think there are any barn dances on the neighbor islands that I'm aware of, crossings at this point. You know, I don't think structurally it works for them, you know, in any of those areas.
You know,
but that's a good thing to look at, Joe. Next time I travel, I'll go look for that. But I don't seem to think so, no.
We have another call from Wailuku, Mike from Maui. You have a question or a point to make?
Yeah, my comment would just be that all these laws and everything that's on the books ultimately becomes elective for people to follow. And sometimes you have to put up perhaps physical barriers, like at railroad crossings, they have arms that come down. And in Europe, I've seen subterranean posts that come up that will make a roadway inaccessible. It pops up out of the road about 2 feet. It's an actual physical barrier. So then you're making the choice for people. They don't have the option to not stop because they don't want to or they're in a hurry. You're actually making the decision for them. You make it inaccessible. So that would be my point. If money and, you know, the cost of life, if you're trying to put those things together, what about putting physical barriers up and making the choice for people and not giving them the option not to stop? Anyway, that was my comment.
All right. Thank you very much. We also have another call, Elbridge from Honolulu. You have a question?
Oh, yes. Hi. Well, it was a tremendous good conversation here. It's hard to know where to not include more things. I think a great deal of comments were made about lack of inattention, or lack of attention, meaning inattention, by both drivers and certainly pedestrians who are walking around the streets now with their faces to their Facebooks, even when they cross the street, so they didn't even begin to look. But the real reason I called was I travel every day between Kailua and Honolulu, and I noticed the new loose posts and things that were put up along Nuuanu where the accidents happened. I'm not sure they're very effective. I mean, they do distract me so that I may try not to hit the barricade, hit those little posts and things, although some of it hit. But that takes my view away from checking, is there anybody in the intersection? And it seems to me flashing lights are the best. I don't know about the problem on King Street where you said they couldn't be seen in the daytime. The one you've got past Castle Junction headed toward Kaneohe right there at HPU and Poly Golf Course, that flashes so light you see it real, so brightly you see it real easily in the daytime as well as night. So it seems to me on Nuuanu, that would be a place to do it on both sides and in the center where people would get it. Now, a couple of friends of mine from the mainland point out that in those kind of intersections where they are in California and so on, they actually put them in the roadway. They bury it in the road with just sticking up, I guess it's like those bump spots, but those light up so you know there's a pedestrian. It seems to me that's more expensive and more problem than just putting flashing lights on both sides of the road and in the center where the center is. You got to get attention, but people just roaring down through Nuuanu all the time.
All right, thank you for that. And I don't know, Captain, do you want to talk more about these barriers? We've had several callers.
Yes, I know the barriers on Poly Highway. So Poly Highway is a state highway. It's not John's. But so state DOT, I know, went through a fairly long procurement process to get the materials and the construction and the equipment and stuff. And the timing was, you know, just like 2 weeks after we had a pedestrian fatality in the exact same intersection, the materials arrive in there and they're able to complete the project. So it might look like kind of a knee-jerk reaction, but it's something that was actually in the pipe, in the works for quite a while. I know the cost is very low. I don't know much about the project other than having talked to like Ed Sniffen, the Deputy Director of Department of Transportation. I think I read an article over the weekend where they said they replace those stanchions every week, and it's $30. I don't know if John can give you a rough estimate of how much a traffic light or a lit intersection is, but compared to $30. And again, you're right. It goes back to the ultimate equation of what's the human life worth and how much is the community willing to invest. And that's definitely a discussion that needs to be carried out a little further.
We have another call. Sergio from Makiki, you have a suggestion to make?
Hello. Hi. Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. We've had some really good comments, and I didn't want to, like, double tap the crosswalk illumination ideas, but that was kind of one of my ideas was to, I know I lived in Virginia for a while, and they had crosswalks where you, when you push the button, the actual crosswalk illuminates, where you have lights come up from the ground. I know on King Street especially, people like to cross, and where there's not even like maybe a traffic light, they have places to cross, and at night it's really hard to see. So that could be one. And then another one, I was thinking, just being on hold for tourists that come in, what if we, you know, what if there's a coordination with the airlines when people come in to be on vacation or whatever? It's just kind of reiterate the rule or the idea of don't cross the crosswalk while looking at your phone and be aware of, you know, traffic and stuff like that. So maybe like a public service announcement for folks that are inbound, like tourists and whatnot.
All right. Thank you for that.
I actually can speak to that on the Walkwise side. We do reach out to the visitors coming to the state of Hawaii to give them information. It's on the Tourism Visitor Network, and we do pass out the brochures as we can. But, you know, we're very lucky, too, that very few of our visitors are our pedestrian fatalities. You know, most of them are local residents that are getting hit. But we are reaching out to our visitors to make sure they know the laws.
Okay. Good point. Also, maybe we should talk about the move over law, because I don't know if folks are all on the same page about what that means. Captain, can you share some thoughts?
There are certain categories or classes that are defined in the Hawaii Revised Statute now, that if one of these happens to be on the side of the road, you have to move over. Okay, so move over means you either change lanes or you have to slow down substantially. So these are things like police cars, fire trucks, ambulances, tow trucks, construction equipment. If there's a police officer on a traffic stop on the side of the road, it's not okay to pass them going 55 or 60 miles an hour in the next lane right next to them. By law, you need to either move over to give them that extra lane as a buffer or slow your car down substantially. So we just had a solo bike officer in fact, the day before Thanksgiving, a solo bike officer that works for me was on a traffic stop on the left-hand shoulder of the H1 freeway between the H2 and the Waikele off-ramp area. And again, ideally, we try to pull people over on the right-hand shoulder, but at the end of the day, wherever they stop is where we stop behind them. So the traffic stop is on the left-hand shoulder, and the officer goes up and talks to the driver and decides, okay, I'm just going to give this driver a warning, and says, because of the position that we're in, I'm going to move my motorcycle into the left lane to warn the traffic because there's not a whole lot of room for you to speed up to freeway speed and merge back over. So the officer backs his motorcycle up into the lane, signals the driver, and as the driver is about to take off, here comes a truck filled with rocks in the number one lane and rear ends the motorcycle in the left lane. So not only should that truck not have been in that lane, he shouldn't have even been in the lane next to them. So without going into the investigation and the collision and everything else, it's appears to be a case where, if you see a police officer or a fire truck or an ambulance or a construction, move over. Give them a lane.
Right, slow down.
Having spent the majority of my career on the freeway at night doing DUI enforcement, 15, 18 years, I can tell you there have been some really close calls where I have seen my life flash before my eyes trying to get in or out of my car because motorists don't move over and give us a lane. I mean, Garrett Davis, a police officer, was killed right in 2011, just before the APEC event. And Garrett was on the left-hand lane of the freeway trying to assist a motorist, and he got hit from behind. His car exploded into a ball of fire and killed him. It happens. We're very vulnerable users. Police will never say they're vulnerable, but on the freeway, I can tell you we're very vulnerable users up there sitting stationary in places where we would much rather not be. That's our job to be there. We don't mind being there, but if you can move over and give us a lane, we would definitely appreciate it. It makes us feel better. It makes the whole situation a whole lot safer. So move over that lane. Give the officer or the firefighter or the ambulance or the tow truck driver extra room to work and allow us to get the roads clear faster so that we're out of the way.
And it's the law.
It is the law.
Okay,
It definitely is the law.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to add just about the move over law? Or?
I mean, it just brings back to light that this idea that most accidents are caused by just inattention or impatience or just being in such a rush to get somewhere. And I don't necessarily want to say that it's a car versus a pedestrian versus a bike thing, but if you're in the roadway, I mean, a bicycle could also hit a pedestrian, and who's going to win that one too? I mean, they're probably both going to suffer some injury, but I think, whenever you're the bigger user, you have that responsibility to watch out for the smaller users around you too. Yeah. And just slow down,
I mean, the reality is most traffic fatalities are preventable. Really? We just need to slow down.
I'd say they're all preventable.
They're all preventable, right?
Okay. We don't even use the word accident. We use the word collision.
Collision, yeah. Yeah.
Accident, something that can happen to anybody. Collision is an act that's generally caused by negligence or recklessness.
And the pedestrian, we use the word crash, pedestrian crash, not accident as well.
I did see something about how I think it's State Highways is allowing motorcycle traffic to use the shoulder on the freeway. I saw that recently.
Let me stop you there. So okay. This is a bill that came out of the last legislative session, and no, motorcycles cannot use the shoulder to pass stopped traffic on the freeway. What the bill authorized was the State Department of Transportation director to conduct a study and to authorize in certain areas. I don't think those areas have been designated or authorized, so please don't do that. No, and the problem is without public awareness or without people knowing, hey, on the H1 from X to Y, motorcycles can pass in times of stop traffic. Without that kind of awareness, everybody else on the roadway, right? We've trained people for years and years that if your car is stalled and you're in traffic, get to the shoulder, right? Open up the lane, let everybody go by. So drivers aren't yet looking to see, hey, is there a motorcycle passing me on the shoulder? Because it's such a new thing. So no, please don't do that.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, we have about 2 minutes left. Any thoughts just about where we needed to be headed as we go into this new year?
I think the bottom line that I keep coming back to over and over is, and John and Lance, we've all kind of hit on it, is that every single one of these collisions is avoidable. From a pedestrian standpoint, the only difference between a pedestrian injury collision and a pedestrian fatality collision, the difference is very small. Any pedestrian injury collision could very easily be a fatality, right? Depending if the pedestrian falls a certain way or unguarded falls or people hit their head, very minor injuries can lead to death. So we really have to focus not so much on here is where all the fatalities are, which is very important, but here's where all the collisions are. And if you look at Department of Health, State Department of Health has this excellent interactive website where you can look at the island and click on or click off pedestrian injuries, bicycle injuries. And you're going to look and you're going to say, oh my gosh, it's like a giant pink blob. The entire island is a pedestrian injury collision.
Yeah.
And the only difference between an injury collision and a critical injury or a fatality collision is the severity of the fall, and that on any collision could be a traffic fatality.
Okay. What I'd like to say, you want to go, John?
Well, yeah. To tag on to that, slow vehicle speed hits a pedestrian. High chance of living, low chance of fatality. As you increase the speed just a little bit, you hit a threshold where high chance of fatality, low chance of survival. So again, speed is the killer.
Okay. All
right. One thing I would say is visibility. Always make sure you're seen. Even in the urban core, when there's lights out there, still be visible.
Right. Walk-wise. Right. Yeah. We would like to thank our guests, Captain Ben Moskowitz, Lance Ray, and John Noichi. And we'd like to thank you, the listener, for joining us on today's show. If your call didn't make it on the air, you can still contact our talkback line. Leave your comments. That number, 808-792-8217. Send us an email at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And if you want to listen back to today's show, check out the conversation page, hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of The Conversation.